Frank, I was wondering if you and Doug, having your own personal playing careers, being backups for a long, long time, kind of gives you a better feel for what Nick faced when he started this whole thing and just the whole process.
I think so. I mean, I think so, knowing the pressure that's on you, knowing how you liked it, when how people treated you when you were in that situation, and usually the answer is that it's just, let's go to work. Let's not make a bigger deal out of this than it is. We got confidence and belief in each other. You're here for a reason. We're here for a reason. We all believe in each other, so let's just go play ball.
Right. It looks like Nick did a good job kind of stepping up in the pocket and throwing his body moving forward, more so than maybe in other games. What did you think of his pocket presence overall, and was that a point of emphasis heading into this game?
I thought his pocket presence was outstanding. I thought the protection was outstanding in general. I mean, but even in a game where protection is great, there's still times where there's going to be good pocket movement. I thought he showed excellent pocket movement, and then making plays, extending plays with little subtle movements, did a great job.
Doug mentioned that you were kind of played an integral role in that drive at the end of the first half. Can you explain how you guys worked together in a situation like that?
Coach is dialing him up, and we work together all the time, but he's dialing him up. When he gets to 2 minute, I have a little bit more emphasis on that. He relies on me a little bit more sometimes in 2 minute at times. Other times, it's full steam ahead and go. Call it unbelievable game. The whole year has been unbelievable. That game in particular was amongst the best I've seen as far as play calling. But we have a great team effort when it comes to that kind of stuff, the way we prepare. I think a lot of it goes to the preparation and practice and the detail. And then so when we get to those moments where you got to make those split-second decisions on boom and go. And I just love the fact that he's aggressive and trusts our players, you know, to go out there and execute a drive like that when you got 29 seconds and still get points.
Frank, how much does that preparation happen in the video room, film room? And is this team special in that regard? Starting with Carson, it seems like, I remember you guys saying sometimes you have to tell them to dial it down a little bit in the offseason. But is this team more special than others?
I think there is no doubt a level of commitment by the players. I think winning breeds that. When you got something going, I think it comes from leadership on the team. I think it comes from, obviously, the head coach first and foremost, and then the staff in general, just the detail that we talk about. In executing, and everything that we are about is execution fuels emotion, and in order to do that, you need to prepare, and it's about exhausting every resource for that. And I think our players have a good understanding that we not only do it as a group, but the responsibility that they bear to do some stuff on their own. I think it's a good mix.
Frank, how long has the flea flicker been in the game plan?
I mean, it's been in the playbook forever.
Where was it specifically for this game?
It may have been in the game plan one other time. Don't quote me on that, in the sense of I don't remember off the top of my head. But just talking to Coach the night before, I was pretty confident he was going to dial it up. I think he felt good about it. And I don't know, just an instinct. I think he just had an instinct, and he was just committed to being aggressive. Trust in Nick, trust in our players, because when we practiced it during the week, it looked okay. It didn't look particularly that good. But that's the thing. He was just bold. He was aggressive now in his play calling, kept him off balance, and then we just executed. I mean, that play was it was well run, but it just Torrey made a great catch. Nick made a spectacular throw. It wasn't like sometimes you see in a flea flicker, you're running 10 yards behind a guy. It wasn't one of those deals. It was, at the end of the day, it was two players making a great play.
In these press conferences, Frank, you're not often putting the spotlight on yourself, but Doug often does. What do you do kind of between the week, in the week that we don't see in terms of the game planning that goes into Sunday?
You know what? Coach has literally put together the best staff that you can possibly imagine. And that's how we work. We work as a staff together. And it's fun to do it that way. I mean, it's fun when it's we. You know, it's fun when we got a head coach who shares that responsibility and who is, and as the role of offensive coordinator, that's what you do. You coordinate. You take all the great resources that you have as far as the staff and our head coach, and you pile your ideas together, and then you got to narrow them down and that's what we do. And we get a lot of good input from a lot of different ways. And That's fun. I mean, it's fun to work with the guys we work with and have the players to run those plays.
Are you putting input into the actual play calls themselves, or is that mostly Doug?
It's Doug calling the plays.
What about on Saturday nights? You've mentioned that a couple times. That do you guys have like a last game planning meeting? Who's in the room, and what's Doug's demeanor in those situations?
I always love on Saturday night, the night before a game, he and I have an hour and a half meeting. The game plan's completely in. Obviously, we have the call sheet in front of us. He has his first 15 that he's come up with. It's kind of become a running joke about how good are the first 15. And it's fun. I mean, those are the little side meetings. That if you don't enjoy working with each other and going through the ups and downs of a season. And so, we'll sit in there, talk about the first 15, and he'll say, like he said to me the other night, here's the 15, but I might insert this here or this there. He said to me the other night, my whole goal in calling this game is be aggressive, keep them off balance, use all the little things that we have, do the unexpected. And then together we talked about let's be aggressive but not reckless. Let's be aggressive but not reckless. And that's the fine line. That's the art of it. And he did a phenomenal job.
What is it like game planning, like against the Patriots and Belichick? He likes to take one person away, and then you get all that stealth stuff that they do. What is that like for you?
I mean, he does that better than anybody, or is certainly as good as a lot of good coaches. They're a very well-coached team. And I coached in Indianapolis for a few years going up against when we had a lot of offensive weapons. And so I've seen different ways of how they will try to take players away, and they're very good at it. I think the unique thing about our offense is we've said it all year. We spread the ball around. And, sure, we got a couple workhorses, but that hasn't really defined us as an offense. And we've always used the analogy we got five guys that can score, that can win the game for us on any given night, and we feel confident in that.
What does it mean to the offense having to game plan against Bill Belichick, knowing this is his eighth Super Bowl? How do you not be cowed by that? How do you not let that get in your head?
Have an immense amount of respect for him and his staff and what he's done and what they've accomplished. We all know how hard that is. But this is we respect everybody. We don't fear anybody. We like our players. We like our staff and what we're going to and how we're going to game plan as well. So we look forward to the challenge.
After seeing Nick this past week play very well against Minnesota, what more, if anything, do you still want to see out of him?
Just keep playing within keep doing what he's doing. I mean, he's been spectacular. We've said it all along. He's comfortable in his own skin. When you look at the whole body of work, he's a big play machine. He knows how to make big plays. He gets in the groove and gets in rhythm, but that's the whole team. I mean, and he understands that. That's the great thing about Nick. He's got the maturity to understand. He's not trying to be the hero. He's just trying to do his job and let his teammates do what they do. And that's what he did the other night. And we just need to keep that same thing.
Have you learned anything about Nick over the last few weeks that you didn't know about him before?
I think he's been the same guy. He's been unwavering through the ups and the downs, and that's what's been encouraging. He never, even when we had a bad game or two, when we had a bad game or two, he never wavered, never lost doubt or confidence. So I think what you learn is we got the guy we wanted to get, and glad he's on our team.
Frank, the deep balls that he hit, how much of that is a product of just him finally having a lot of time with these receivers? And what else goes into that? Obviously protection. What are the factors that go into that?
I think you hit on it. I mean, number one is the protection for sure. Number two is just the repetitions of throwing him. That certainly is some help. But Nick is everybody knows that Nick is a good deep ball thrower. I mean, he can make all the throws, but he's a very good deep ball thrower. We said it right from the very start. He's not afraid to throw it. He wants to throw it. But what he's demonstrated in the last few games is that, hey, we can dink and dunk. We can throw it deep, take your shots. It's the analogy we've used of boxing. It's jab, 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 then throw the big left hook. And it's the how do you know when to throw that? Well, when you have him set up. When you have the right play call, when coach is aggressive here, and okay, this is an aggressive play call, but we're not getting the look we want, so I'm going to dial it back. And I think he's just demonstrated the ability to know how to do that.
Brent, the offense has obviously evolved a lot since you played. Do you ever think back on your playing days? Is there a specific part of the playbook, I guess, that you wish you could have had when you were playing?
You know, I think probably the biggest way that, as far as general pass concepts, I think a lot of it is still similar, to be very honest with you. But what has evolved, to your point, is the RPO game was non-existent, or, you know, when I played. And to see how, and everybody thinks RPO, they think young, athletic, college quarterback. And that's not what the RPO game is all centered around. It's centered around accurate throwing, good decision-making, and good execution. And, you know, Nick's – what little we when we use it, Nick's shown a great aptitude of doing that very well.
Early third down to Ertz, in which Mac Collins ran a route. Was that pick, rub, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah.
Was he behind a yard behind? Is that why? I mean, I don't see very often where a guy will fake pretend that the ball is coming to him. What went into that thinking? And was he beyond a yard there?
Was Mac beyond a yard? He was probably right on the edge of that, and it was a legal play. What's the thinking there is, hey, let's create a little traffic. We only need a yard or two on something like that, so it doesn't have to be. Sometimes when you create a rub play or a play where you're trying to get a legal pick, because it is legal if the receiver establishes position early, we know that if the defender's on the line of scrimmage, the receiver can go block him. He can physically block him if the guy is pressing him. But if the defender is 2 yards off the ball, then the receiver has to establish position early. When you only need 1 yard, it doesn't have to be the perfect pick, in other words. And that was one of those cases. Mac did a good job, and we got the yardage needed.
What is the second straight game in this offense? I mean, you know, they tried to cover him one-on-one with Harrison Smith, and Woods has been dominating.
Yeah, I mean, he's hard to cover. He's hard to cover one-on-one. He's hard to cover in zone because he's got such a good feel. I think that's the problem that our offense presents. You know, when you can attack from the inside like Ertz can from the inside, but then we got guys on the outside making plays, they feed off of one another.
It was the second straight game that Carson was on the sideline, was involved in the celebration. How's he been through all this?
He's been outstanding. You know, and, you know, even said to him in the fourth quarter of that game, you know, once the game was in hand and we knew the game was over, just kind of reminding him of obviously the incredibly important role that he's played in everything, most particularly the fact that that game was played on our turf, and even just shared a moment with him about how special it is that he and Nick, you know, about how he, the greatest, to me, one of the greatest things about a person that you can say is when you see him celebrating somebody else's success, even when you know it's at the same position. I don't care. Human nature tells you that's hard to do. And it's been fun to see those two do that. It's fun to see Carson have the maturity to truly celebrate Nick's success and understanding how he's helping this team, but also with the frustration knowing that he wants to be in there.
Well, you experienced something similar. Is it only human, though, to wish that you were,
absolutely,
you were there?
Absolutely. I mean, it's absolutely human to wish that you were in there. But the whole key, it's a very fine line. And the fine line to me is that you can still not just be happy for the team winning, but to be happy for Nick, who's at your position, you know, who could potentially be stealing another person's thunder. But that's the pretty cool thing about, of all the great things that he's done this year, even more exemplifies the kind of leader that he is.
On that second TD to Alshon, they showed Carson with the big smile on his face. I know that was his play from North Dakota State. Did he say anything to urge you guys to call that play, or was he just happy with the result?
Yeah, no. I mean, every time we score on his play, you know, the smile's gonna light up, and so, and it was just executed very well. Doug called it at the perfect time.
Frank, you mentioned aggression a couple of times. As a former backup, is there sort of a natural assumption you guys have brought up, maybe that the opposing defense will think you guys will scale things back? Have you taken advantage of that?
No, I mean, I don't think we think teams are going to think we're going to scale it back. I think most coaches know that your DNA is your DNA. You know, we are who we are. And And it's not built around one player. And that's why this organization made a huge decision and a huge investment in a guy like Nick Foles to have him here. Thankfully, we did that. And you get in the middle of the season, there's so much confidence and trust and belief in one another, and understanding that it's the whole team. And so I don't think there's ever been a thought. I don't think coaches think in terms of scaling back very often.
There's so many new players on this offense in various positions, and mainly receiver, and obviously Nick wasn't here. What are the challenges of acclimating so many new guys and making it work and giving it rhythm? I mean, is that a process that takes all year?
Yeah, it's this, even referring back to the last question, because of scaling back, maybe a better way for me to say it, it's adapting. You know, it's you're not so much scaling back as you are adapting and getting the new parts and trying to figure out, emphasizing one thing more than another. So that is an ongoing process that you have to adapt to each week.
What does it mean to have running backs who just kind of refuse to go down? What can that do for the team and kind of building electricity as the game is?
It does. It builds electricity. Most importantly, it builds electricity in the front five. I mean, there's nothing that I don't think that gets offensive linemen, because they're blocking their butts off. And when they see the back fighting for extra yards and won't go down, they take that personal in a positive way. So I think it gets those guys that much more fired up, and they feed off of that. Okay.